Thank you for listening in to the Aquila Group of Funds podcast. I'll be your host today, Phil Felice. Joining me is Chris Johns, the portfolio manager of the Aquila Tax-Free Fund of Colorado. We'll be discussing the ever-timely municipal bond markets as well as the local Colorado economy. Welcome, Chris, and thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Phil.
Let's start off with a story not only in municipal markets, but all markets for the start of 2022, the Fed and interest rates as they look to tackle inflation. We've seen how the muni markets and really all markets sold off on the news of rate hikes. What do we expect from the muni markets for the rest of the year in an anticipated rising rate environment relative to other fixed income markets and then even relative to other markets in general? And how does Aquila position accordingly?
Well, the observation is correct, Phil. For the first part of this year, most of the interest rate news has been focused around kind of hawkish decisions that the Federal Reserve is making. They've mentioned that they are going to begin to reduce the amount of securities they're purchasing in the open market, which they're going to start here at the beginning of March. They've also talked about allowing the securities that they own to run off their balance sheet, so a balance sheet shrinking. And then the third thing where they've actually talked about the liftoff of starting to increase short-term interest rates. So the combination of all three of those things led to, you know, higher interest rates in the first couple of months of this year, depending on which maturity range you're looking at in the Treasuries, anywhere from 50 to 70 basis points higher in a fairly short period of time because of all that. This is driven largely by the inflation numbers that you mentioned. We're seeing inflation virtually everywhere, in food prices, commodity prices, car prices, home prices. Everything is experiencing inflation right now as we recover from COVID, and there's still some supply chain disruptions that cause difficulty in getting products through the system and hence higher prices. So between inflation and higher interest rates, that's really been the story so far this year. That's all being tempered by geopolitical events with Russia and Ukraine, where interest rates have come back down a little bit because of concerns about what's going on internationally. And so interest rates have come down a little bit. It remains to be seen if the Federal Reserve will react to these geopolitical concerns and kind of slow down their kind of hawkish policies that they've talked about at the beginning of this year. So that remains to be seen. We believe that interest rates will continue to edge upwards for most of the rest of this year, both for treasuries and for munis, and we believe that at some point we'll start to see a little bit larger increases in interest rates on the longer end. So far, most of the interest rate increases have been in kind of the 3 to 10 year range, and we think that the longer end of the curve could go up a little bit more from where they are today. For our fund, we have a duration of about 4.5 years, average maturity of around 7 years, and high credit quality. We've been anticipating higher interest rates for some time, and so we've built a fairly defensive portfolio with limited interest rate risk exposure and limited credit risk exposure.
Great. Thanks for that, Chris. And with all that in mind, there is sentiment from our advisor universe, and they're asking, you know, what makes munis compelling now? Their clients are hearing about potential rate increases and are asking their advisors to guide them. How do we help investors or even advisors discussing the asset class with investors answer that question of what makes munis compelling now?
Well, the first thing I would say is that there has been an adjustment in municipal bond interest rates relative to U.S. Treasury rates. For a lot of last year, and even at the beginning of 2022, muni rates had not really kept up with Treasury rates. But recently, they have caught up. So right now, the municipal Treasury ratio, in other words, the percent that muni yields are of a corresponding maturity U.S. Treasury yields, are more normal, and in some cases, actually a little high. The 5-year range, muni yields are 77% of treasuries. 10-year range, about 86% of treasuries. and in the 30-year range, about 80% of treasuries. And I would say that's in the normal range, maybe even slightly above normal. So the valuation of munis is good. Next thing I would say is that historically, in a rising interest rate environment, munis tend to be a little less volatile. And the primary reason for that is the tax-exempt nature of it. Having that tax benefit generally makes interest rates on munis a little less volatile than they would be on U.S. Treasury. And then for us, you know, with our limited interest rate risk exposure and high credit quality, that's the type of portfolio that we would anticipate would be a little less volatile in a rising interest rate environment.
Thank you, Chris. And so switching gears a bit, we speak here at Aquila in great detail on being local and the idea that because of our footprint in a state like Colorado, we are better situated to tackle the state's muni environment. You do a great job of this always, so we always do want to ask, what are you seeing on the ground that someone looking at your market from a national perspective may miss?
For Colorado, it really is a distinct advantage. And the reason for that is that Colorado is just one of a few states that doesn't allow state general obligation debt. And so the result of that is we have many smaller standalone issuers in the state. There's thousands of issuers in the state of Colorado. And the Tax Refund of Colorado has been around for more than 30 years. And as a result, we have, you know, really good credit files on most Colorado issuers, and we know what's going on with them. There's a lot of nuance in legislative developments, in economic developments, and in even legal developments in a state like Colorado that has a very broad spectrum of credit quality issuers in the state. And so being able to track all that and having the contacts that we have with not only the issuers themselves, but also with various government agencies where we can get data from to track the credit strength of Colorado issuers. So Colorado, it's really important to have those connections because there's so many issuers.
So let's stay at the state level, but let's look at it from a macro perspective. Anything to note at the state economy, whether it's employment, tourism, housing, anything that anyone listening to this podcast that would stand out?
For Colorado, we've had we've weathered the COVID storm remarkably well. The economy in Colorado is very strong. We've seen at the state level the difference in general fund revenues from 2020 to 2021, an increase of 10.7% in revenues. We've had record household savings, some of which has been drawn by the CARES Act and by the American Rescue Plan. Another really strong area has been retail sales throughout the state of Colorado. You know, sales tax collections in virtually every corner of the state are at record levels. So people have been spending money. And then the other big thing has been the real estate market. Residential real estate market has been on fire for a couple of years. The median selling price for a single-family home in Colorado is a historic high of $533,000 as of last November, and it's probably even gone up a little bit since then. So that's important to us because roughly 40% of our portfolio is backed by property taxes. So that helps the credit quality of the portfolio. So overall, at the macro level, the state is doing very, very well.
Chris, as always, thank you for your time today. And thank you for your insights, not only on the Colorado market, but the broader municipal bond landscape. We always appreciate it. Thanks for being here today.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The opinions shared are those of the portfolio managers and do not necessarily reflect those of the investment advisor or sub-advisor of the fund. Before investing in a fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor when you visit www.aquilafunds.com or call 1-800-437-1020. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible. Investments in bonds may decline in value due to rising interest rates, a real or perceived decline in the credit quality of an issuer, borrower, counterparty, or collateral, adverse tax or legislative changes, court decisions, market or economic conditions. Fund performance could be more volatile than that of the funds with greater geographic diversification. For more information on the entire Aquila group of funds, please visit www.aquilafunds.com. The fund seeks to provide a high level of income exempt from state and federal income tax, as is consistent with capital preservation. Past performance does not guarantee future results. For certain investors, some dividends may be subject to federal and state income taxes, including the alternative minimum tax referred to as AMP. Please consult your tax professional. Independent rating services such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch assign ratings which generally range from AAA, which is the highest, to D, the lowest, to indicate the creditworthiness of underlying bonds in the portfolio. Where the independent rating services differ in the rating assigned to an issue or do not provide a rating for an issue, the highest available rating is used in calculating allocations by rating. Pre-refunded or escrowed bonds are issued to retire or regain an outstanding bond issue at a specific call date. Until the call date, the proceeds of the bond issuance are typically placed in a trust and invested in U.S. Treasury bonds or state and local government securities. Modified and effective duration both measure the value of a security in response to a change in interest rates. Effective duration is also taken into account the effect of embedded options. The weighted average life, also referred to as weighted average maturity, is a reflection of the quickness with which the principal of an issue is expected to be paid. A credit spread is a difference in yield between two bonds of similar maturity but different credit quality. Taxable equivalent yield is the return that is required on a taxable investment to make it equal to the return on a tax-exempt investment. For certain investors, net investment income tax, known as NIIT, may apply. NIIT is a 3.8% tax established by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that applies to the lesser of the net amount income or a taxpayer's modified adjusted gross income above an applicable threshold amount. The acronym PERS, P-E-R-S, stands for Public Employee Retirement System. The acronym PERA, P-E-R-A, stands for Public Employees Retirement Association. CARES Act stands for Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. Yield refers to earnings generated and realized on an investment over a specific period. Yield is expressed as a percentage based on the investment amount, current market value, or face value of the security, and includes the interest earned or dividend received from holding a particular security. The yield ratio represents the comparison of the expected yield of one bond to the expected yield of another. A yield ratio is important when deciding whether to invest in one bond or another. Generally, the higher yield is considered better.